Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Let's kick off July with the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, but you should just kind of randomly stop by there to see what's going on. Pretty much any day of the week. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget we have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, of course, Dan and I are out there on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at
Dan the Man with three.
So, you know, Dan, I realized that it's Canada Day. I did not know July 1st was Canada Day. But sports-wise, this is known as Bobby Bonilla Day. As, believe it or not, he is still receiving payments from the Mets. I believe he got like $1.125 million or something today from the Mets. And he's due to receive those payments for quite a few more years. Even though I did see somebody on Twitter say we shouldn't make fun of the Mets because of this. So. which I thought was humorous. What else are we supposed to do? Yeah, where, you know, it's just one of those, one of those things. It's like, hey, this is the Mets. This is what they do, and we're going to make fun of them. But all right, well, you know, some sad news, Dan, and there really aren't much details to this. I don't know if you saw this yet, but Angels pitcher Tyler Skaggs was found dead in his hotel room. I believe it was a little past noon today. The Angels were in Texas to play the Rangers, and he was found unresponsive. It's too early for a cause of death or anything. So I don't want to speculate on if or what happened. But, yeah, he was all of 27 and, you know, actually kind of looked like he was kind of figuring it out. But, unfortunately, you know, his life was cut short. And as, you know, more details come out, we will get them to you. But, you know, again, the game has been canceled, and not to sound – macabre or anything, because we all know life goes on. You know, just make sure you made your fantasy changes in case you were betting that game. You know, if you put a lineup in early or something, kind of get out there and take care of all that stuff. But, condolences to his family and, you know, everything. So hopefully, you know, they'll find out what happened, and we'll get the news to you, when it comes out. Were you carrying them anywhere on any of your teams this year?
No, not this year.
All right. Well, we don't need to hang around on that too long. But Dan, I guess I don't even know which way to describe it, but NBA free agency happened kind of fast and frenetic there when everything kicked off. I think everybody signed but Kawhi Leonard. It was just so weird. Like, I saw the trying to remember what that moron's name was who used to announce for us. I think it was Jacob. And he was kind of like, well, you know, baseball needs to take a hint from the NBA on how to do free agency. Obviously, he doesn't pay attention to anything else, because any sport with a salary cap, free agency kind of goes like this. This is how it goes in the NFL. Even the NHL, free agency just started. They had a whole bunch of signings today. So,
yeah.
You know, it's not just basketball. You know, if you've ever watched, you know, football or hockey, these things go the exact same way because, you know, teams have their cap. They know what they can spend and all that kind of fun stuff. And, you know, it makes things easier. But I don't know, were you surprised by anything or shocked by anything or, you know, anything at all that interested you?
No, I mean, I think you brought up all the stuff with the Nets. I mean, I am honestly still surprised that anyone would want to go there. But I know also with the NBA and the salary cap and the salary minimums that you sign three guys like KD and now I can't remember who else signed there, but was it what's his name? Come on, you know, this is where you fill in real quick.
I know Kyrie Irving and DeAndre Jordan.
Kyrie Irving, yeah. You know, you could turn that team around. Well, not next season since KD is not going to play, but you know what I mean. But I'm still surprised that they were able to make those moves. I'm excited because I think the Heat will maybe be back to a little something next year with Jimmy.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting to see where, you know, who landed where and how, you know, how they kind of went about it. But yeah, you wonder how much better everybody really is. And then for some reason, apparently nobody wants to play for the Knicks. Is that how it works out?
Or the Bulls.
Well, you know, the Bulls are terrible, but, you know, that's just kind of how that goes. But, yeah, I thought it was interesting. And, you know, to be fair, the Knicks actually did sign three quality players. You know, they signed Julius Randle, who, if you look at the numbers, was really good last year. You know, Taj Gibson is a very good NBA player, and, you know, Bobby Portis doesn't stink. You know, he's great, but, you know, he's not the worst player in the league. So, you know, at least they did something. I mean, here locally, the Bulls signed Thaddeus Young and, what was it, Thomas Barnikowski or something like that. I don't even know how to pronounce his last name.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you kind of start looking at it, I think if either of the teams are going to get out of the lottery next year, it's going to be the Knicks, you know, because the Bulls didn't do anything to help themselves.
I don't think they were. Trying to.
Yeah, you know, I just kind of goofy. It's hard, you know, and I know everybody wants, well, you know, the Brooklyn, you know, Kevin Durant going to Brooklyn, oh, you know, that's great. You know, he's not going to play next year, so I don't know, you know, I mean, what's really the impact? You know, and to be fair, I thought the Warriors did pretty well. I mean, obviously they're bringing, Klay Thompson back, and he's going to miss quite a bit of time. But, you know, they went out and got D'Angelo Russell, and he's a really solid player. You know, he had a great year last year. You know, if he fits into the system, you know, he's going to be just fine. You know, another thing, it was kind of humorous. I was kind of like, okay, here we go. You know, they're taking shots at the Warriors because they're like, well, you know, they can't play Klay Thompson, Stephen Curry, and, you know, D'Angelo Russell all together. You know, that's really nothing they got to worry about till February or March when Thompson comes back. So why don't we wait till then to see how they figure it out? But I guess you need something to talk about, right?
Yeah, you need a headline grabber.
Yeah, so, you know, I thought that was kind of interesting. And then, you know, in today's NBA, I don't understand why you couldn't play those three guys together. It's not like a team is going to post you up and try to take the ball inside. You know, I mean, even if they did, all that guy's going to do is kick it back out to some guy standing on the three-point line. So, you know, I mean, it was just kind of weird. I mean, you know, I don't know if this guy maybe was watching, you know, 1980s NBA games where they used to get mismatches and post guys up and, you know, kind of do stuff like that. But they don't do that anymore. I mean, rarely does a team, you know, throw it into the, you know, to the big seven-footer, even if he's being guarded by, you know, the six-foot point guard from the other team. So... you know, I just thought that was kind of, I don't know, you know, I won't call it interesting, but maybe some odd analysis there on how the way that kind of worked out. But, yeah, you know, then apparently, you know, Kawhi Leonard is the last man left standing as this works out. So it'll be interesting to see. Apparently he's got it narrowed down from all the reports I read that he's either going to Los Angeles to play for the Lakers or the Clippers, or he's going to re-sign with Toronto. Well, I don't know, Dan. Where's he end up?
I mean, that kind of narrows it down to nothing, right?
Yeah, kind of. You know, I mean, you know, the Lakers did, you know, let's use the term finagle some stuff around so they have a max spot so they can offer Kawhi, you know, a lot of money. You know, the Clippers have a boatload of money, and the Raptors, of course, since he's their guy, they can offer him more than anybody else. They can actually offer him a fifth year as well. So, I don't know. You like one spot over the other? I mean, you know, the Lakers are gigantic favorites right now to win it all, even though apparently their roster only comprises two guys. But I guess that's all you need. So you got him going there. You got him staying. You know, where's he end up, L.A. or Toronto?
I don't know. I think it'd be cool if he went to the Lakers, but I would like to see him stay in Toronto. I'd like to see that team kind of do what the Warriors did.
Yeah, you know, I hope he stays just to kind of give them a shot at repeating. Who knows how things go with that. But I heard an interesting take on this, and they were saying there were a couple guys, I'm trying to remember what show I was watching, and I'm drawing a blank now because the Mickey Mouse Network has tennis on, so I'm not watching my usual shows. But they were saying that if Kawhi was to sign with the Lakers, they think it would kind of ruin the NBA regular season. Now, obviously, I don't care because it's pretty much already ruined for me. Do you think that's something they would have to worry about? You know, ratings were down drastically, not only for the regular season, but in the playoffs. They could probably make that up because LeBron would be back in the playoffs, or at least it looks like. But do you think that would flatline the regular season? I mean, would you want to watch any other games knowing the Lakers have this dominant team and look like they should win it? Almost kind of like they were in Miami.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, shouldn't the Warriors with KD and company and Curry and Thompson and all those guys, shouldn't they have been able to help it?
Yeah, you know, I kind of wondered that myself, but I guess when you look at it, are those names really as big? I mean, obviously Durant and Curry are right there, but, you know, Klay Thompson was never, you know, a star like that, and neither was Draymond Green, where, I mean, we would be talking about three guys. You know, I mean, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Kawhi Leonard, you could actively say that you have three of the top five players in the NBA all on the same team. You know, I mean, it would be akin to, you know, akin to when he was in Miami. And I mean, I know you would out, you know, you would be out right away buying Bulls tickets for when the Lakers came to town, but that would just be to see the Lakers. So, but yeah, I have to ask you because you damn well know I'm not watching any of this anyways, except for, you know, a minute or two to get a final score. I mean, would it ruin it for you?
I don't think so. I mean, I think it would make it a little bit more competitive in the West. That the Warriors would have a lot more to fight for. You might be able to get some more ratings on the West Coast game, seeing as somebody might stay up just a little bit longer, you know, out east, you know, this way and east than they may have in the past. But I don't think it will kill it because, I mean, even with Kawhi Leonard on the Raptors, how many times over the season did you forget he was on the Raptors? And how many times did they really showcase the Raptors on, you know, major games throughout the season? I mean, I don't remember you throwing – you would always give us a TV schedule for the Nationals. And, I mean, despite where the Bulls and the Knicks were, and, you know, even the Celtics, not really kind of in it, but, I mean, how many times – I know you don't have an exact number, but just going off your memory, how many more times did you feel like you announced the Knicks in somebody's game and the first game as opposed to, you know, Raptors game? I'm sure there were a handful, but I don't think they still got as much coverage either way. They might, you know, with the fact that they won, but how long would that carry over after the first couple of weeks of the NBA if Kawhi signs back there again?
Yeah, you know, it's always tough to kind of, you know, ask me that stuff because I'm just not, you know, watching regular season games anyways. You know, there's just zero interest there for me. Well, to be fair, there's zero interest in the playoff games too. I mean, the game to me is just boring and unenjoyable because, you know, like I mentioned before, it's literally just guys running around the three-point line shooting three-pointers, and, you know, I don't need to see that. So it's kind of like, okay, great. What are we doing now?
Well, you know, I mean, my point was the fact that you were, you know, every day providing us with the national game schedule. So, you know, I feel like you didn't really announce that many Toronto games playing, you know, on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday.
Yeah, I don't remember them on much.
You know, and it just makes me laugh when you bring up the fact that it's pretty much a bunch of guys running around for a three-pointer. So if that's the case, the game is, when you hear them talk about a coach who's a real X's and O's guy, does that really make a difference anymore?
Yeah, that may be the best question you've ever asked on this podcast, Dan. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, do you need, with the exception of maybe inbound plays, do you really need to call or run anything? Because, I mean, it's just literally, you know, I mean, it's pretty much now just one-on-one playground basketball, and you try to beat your guy, and then when they come over to help, you throw the ball to the open guy standing at the three-point line. You know, and then depending on how quick a defender can get there, he either takes the three-pointer or he moves it along to the next guy standing at the three-point line. You know, it's not like we're throwing stuff inside to where somebody dunks it. You know, I mean, I know occasionally that happens, but I mean, you know, I mean, hell, even on fast breaks now, guys stop at the three-point line to take shots. So,
yeah.
You know, it's just kind of odd, and, you know, I guess we'll, you know, we'll have to see how it goes. But, yeah, I honestly don't know if you need a guy who can script plays. Like I said, with the exception of getting the ball inbound. You know, other than that, I mean, you know, throw the ball out there, let them play.
Do you think that's a big reason why, you know, Phil Jackson wasn't able to survive? You know, except for the fact that, I don't think the front office guys should be dictating on the court with what the manager should do. It should be a little bit of, you know, hey, whatever. But do you think he went out with the dinosaurs? I mean, you know, when I talk to my nephew and he still goes to the gyms and plays basketball, he doesn't, you know, not like, you know, when you're playing on the court with a bunch of your friends, you're scripting plays and all that, but what they're all emulating, aside from a three-point shot, is different steps. And what I mean by different steps, you know, there's the Euro step, or, you know, I don't really know what that is. It's basically a travel, but they don't really ever get called a travel. But, you know, different ways to kind of – basically it's a dribble technique to fool your opponent, the guy on you, so that you can either – well, like you said, they don't make the breaks. They don't run up the key anymore. They just, you know, break your legs or break your ankles, as the saying goes, and then take that jump back over the three-point line and shoot the three. Yeah, so I never really realized that till now, but I, you know, when my nephew talks about basketball in general, that's all he talks about. It's just these, you know, steps, almost like a dance.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you think about it now, I mean, for the longest time, you know, remember when the Spurs were, you know, the franchise in the NBA, you know, they succeeded because they had a pick and roll nobody could stop. But, you know, when you pick and roll, when you give that guy the ball, he goes to the hoop and tries to, you know, get a layup or a dunk. Now when a team pick and rolls, they give the guy to the roll. They give the ball to the roll man, and he turns to look to see who's open at the three-point line. He doesn't go to the hoop anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just kind of weird. But, yeah, you know, you were talking about, you know, coaching. And if you think back and you look at – some of the best coaches in the NBA, and you throw Phil Jackson in there, could he – I don't think he could succeed in today's game. You know, players aren't looking for the kind of structure that he brings to a team. You know, and they're – you know, they're not going to play that discipline when, you know, when it comes to that kind of – you know, that kind of stuff. And – it's almost, you know, it almost reminds me of a playground game where, you know, the guy's saying, well, I'm going to get mine. And that's what a lot of these NBA games seem like to me, is it's just guys going out there trying to get their points.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and especially during the regular season, I mean, I don't think these guys even care if they win this anymore, to tell you the truth. So, you know, I don't understand the, you know, the enjoyment of watching it. I mean, there's no real, you know, no real semblance to anything they do. You know,
now,
again, like I said, except, you know, let's just continue to shoot threes.
Yeah, now, you know, with the Jordan era, and, you know, maybe give it to the early 2000s, you know, the guys that were grown into that era, do you think part of the mentality of the game today is the fact that, you know, guys like LeBron and company, you know, kind of his generation and forward, they didn't just play for school and rec league. They, you know, were taught by all these coaches, and by the time they're 15, they've already had, like, you know, God knows how many different philosophies thrown at them, or pro coaches or pro players that have filled them with so much information that by the time they hit 20 years old, that I feel like that's where part of that comes from, or the fact that, you know, it's pretty normal, I think, just in general for men in their mid-20s to think they know it all, you know, mid-20s men or women. But do you think that's part of it, too, is the fact that they've been stuffed with all this information and, you know, been through all these camps and literally played basketball, you know, 12 months out of the year, as opposed to, you know, what, 3 months within, you know, basketball, and a couple months with football and baseball and all this other stuff?
Yeah, you've got to think, you know, that when, you know, like, you know, exactly you mentioned, with these kids playing basketball pretty much 12 months a year from, you know, the first time anybody thought they were good. And then, yeah, just kind of the natural way of that age group. I mean, you know, when you were, I don't know, 17, 18, 19, 20, didn't you know everything?
Yeah, but when I hit 24, I knew everything.
You know what I mean?
My attitude was,
I mean, listen.
At 17, but by 24.
Just imagine a kid who's been handed everything because he's a good basketball player. These guys don't take criticism really well after that because they're so used to being told, well, you know, Billy, you're so great, you know, you're the greatest thing ever, you know, and then Billy runs into Bobby, who plays for a different team in a different state, and maybe Bobby's a little better than Billy, but Billy doesn't want to listen to anybody because he's used to being told that his you-know-what doesn't stink.
Yeah, well, I think one of the greatest examples of it is Stephon Marbury. You know, I recently read a big thing on him, and he was pretty much ranked number one in this country. And once he got to the NBA, you know, being number one amongst a bunch of number ones, he fell down to, what would you say, seven?
Yeah, maybe even
but
lower.
But his attitude of coming into the league as a rookie and within 2 years telling the team, you know, trying to tell the team in the front office how they're supposed to run the team, you know, I think it was a, you know, that attitude going into it really didn't help his career. And, you know, from what I read about with his Chinese career, he's, you know, he actually got his green card, which I guess in China, he's one of only like 2,000 people. That are, you know, they've gotten received a green card. So it's pretty amazing. But, you know, I wonder if that experience of knowing it all really, you know, bit him in the butt. And that's why, you know, China's been so great to him because he realized he was maybe wrong.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I guess in the end it worked out okay for him. Yeah, you know, I mean, as long as he's happy living in China. You know, I mean, it wasn't, I'm sure it wasn't quite the dream he expected, but, you know, I mean, he still made a lot of money. I know they have a museum dedicated to him now. I mean, he's one of the, you know, the greatest players, you know, in the history of their league. But, yeah, you do kind of wonder, you know, if he goes back and looks at it honestly, how he would feel about the way his career worked out. So, you know, it could just be one of those interesting things. I mean, I doubt we'll ever know or, you know, he would ever admit to anything because he doesn't seem like that kind of guy. But, yeah, you know, it could be, yeah, you know, it would definitely be interesting to hear. So, you know, we just see how that all works out. But, you know, all right, well, kind of switching gears and moving on, you know, we had the fun all-star voting and all the stuff that goes with that. And, you know, we talked a little bit about it last week where, you know, the starters are a fan vote, so it's always kind of tough to argue about, you know, who goes where or who does what or who should be this or who should be that. I mean, you know, obviously there are guys that probably should be starting that aren't. But again, you know, that's a fan vote, and this is, you know, who the fans voted, you know, wanted to see. I mean, basically, it kind of boils down to the fact that if you don't like the outcome, you probably should have voted a little more. You know, is the only kind of real way to look at it. Now, you know, when it comes to the reserve, you know, the reserves are a little different, and there's a little more give and take, so to speak, with how this works out. And I noticed one thing right away, Dan, and I always thought this is kind of humorous coming from the team it was. But apparently there was a lot of outcry from Baltimore for the fact that Trey Mancini did not find a spot on the players' ballot. Now, to no surprise, the Orioles only have one representative on the All-Star team, and a pitcher by the name of John Means is their representative. Dan, I get it. You know, Mancini's he's a good player. He's having a good year. The Orioles are 24-59, Dan. Do they really have a right to be harping on this?
Especially not with the Yankees having a complete all-star outfield,
right,
and the Red Sox.
Right. So, I'm looking at some of the other outfielders that made it on the players' ballot. You got Mookie Betts, Joey Gallo, Austin Meadows. Technically, I don't think J.D. Martinez is more of a DH. So you got those three guys, all of who I would put ahead of Trey Mancini. So, Mancini's having a good year. He's 302 with 17 homers and 40 RBIs. You know, but the Orioles needed a representative, so they go with the pitcher. And you can't argue much with Means. I mean, he's made 13 starts. He's appeared in 17 games. He's 7-4 with a 2.50 ERA. So I don't know if you can argue with that choice, can you? Maybe I thought I killed Dan for a minute there. But, yeah, so that one was kind of interesting. And, again, you have to remember you need one guy from each team. So now you're looking at Means along with Shane Green, Whit Merrifield, Mike Minor. Actually, no, Minor wasn't. But Marcus Stroman and Daniel Vogelbach, they're all the lone representatives from their team on the All-Star team. So, you've got to have one. Now, those guys eat up four spots that could have went to, a Mancini. Or, there are a couple guys out there that, people are, hemming and hawing about that should have been on the team. And, that's all fine and dandy, but. Unless you're going to change the process, then, if every team has to have a guy, then, every team has to have a guy, and you can't just be, this guy isn't this, or this guy isn't that, and, you do wonder, was there another Mariner that they could have possibly taken? Who knows? Maybe, let me see if I can jump to their stats real quick. But, I honestly think Vogelbach was as good a choice as any. Again, the thing here is we're talking about the majority of these teams are in last place. I mentioned the Orioles at 24-59. The Royals are 29-55. The Tigers are 27-52. And the Mariners are 37-51. You're not going to have multiple All-Stars off these teams. So, you kind of take what you can get. And, you do wonder, maybe Domingo Santana would have been a better choice than the Mariners. In the end, it probably would have been Encarnacion had he not been traded to the Yankees. So, you could make a case for Omar Narváez just for the fact that he's a catcher. But, again, you – you know, you kind of start to wonder, you know, and a lot of these teams are loaded at positions, you know, and I mean, you know, like at first base, the big complaint I heard was they took Jose Abreu over Luke Voit. Is that really that big of an issue, Dan?
Well, when you live and work on the East Coast, yeah, right?
Yeah. You know, other than that, I don't think that's that big of a deal. You know, when it kind of comes down to it, it's just kind of like, okay, you know, second base, I heard a lot of people complaining about Brandon Lowe, but again, Merrifield needs to be on the team for the Royals, so that's going to take away a second base spot. So Lowe kind of loses his spot. You know, the only really possible complaint in the American League could be shortstop, and that's only because, I mean, you had a boatload of choices. I mean, if they would have put Xander Bogaerts, Gleyber Torres, Kim Anderson, or even Elvis Andrus on as, you know, as a, you know, a player ballot or a league ad, I don't think you have any problem with them. Now, none of them made it. But, you know, it's kind of a loaded position. So, you know, and I know the Twin fans were all up in arms because they only got two guys and they're in first place and the White Sox got three. But, again, have your fans vote more and get more starters. You know, that's the only thing I can really tell you.
Pretty much. I mean, Chicago's a big market, but it's also split with two teams. So, you know, if you couldn't beat that out.
Yeah, you know, and then we get over to the National League. The guys from the players' ballot who made it were Josh Bell, Walker Buehler, Charlie Blackman, Luis Castillo, David Dahl, Jacob DeGrom, Josh Hader, Jeff McNeil, Mike Moustakas, JT Realmuto, Anthony Rendon, Hyun-Jin Ryu, Max Scherzer, Will Smith, Trevor Story, and Kirby Yates. And then the league added Sandy Alcantara, Pete Alonso, Chris Bryant, Paul DeJong, Yasmani Grandal, Zach Greinke, Clayton Kershaw, and Mike Soroka. No gigantic arguments there. I mean, I heard somebody trying to lobby for Manny Machado, but I don't know if Manny Machado was any better than Eduardo Escobar or Justin Turner. So,
no, not to jump off topic on that, but I'm telling you, in 7 years, White Sox fans are going to need to take a look back and be thankful.
Yeah. I think the biggest complaints I heard in the National League was first base. And I'm trying to remember, I don't remember who got voted in at first base. But, you know, obviously Josh Bell's been, like, the best player in the first half pretty much. So, you know, you can't complain about him getting on, but there are some good, first basemen. I mean, Max Muncy, and I wonder if Muncy got hurt because he plays a little second too, and there was a little maybe confusion on voting him. You know, Reese Hoskins has been really good for the Phillies. And, of course, you know, here locally, Anthony Rizzo, if, you know, any of those three guys would have made it, you know, I don't think there would have been an issue. But, yeah, you know, I mean, again, there's only so many spots, and you have to have a guy from each team. So, you know, you start looking at it, and, you know, I mean, who the hell are you taking from the Marlins, Dan?
Starlin Castro.
Right. You know, that's the only, you know, the only guy. And, you know, I mean, you know, the Reds really haven't had a guy stand out. So, you know, it's just one of those odd, you know, situations. So, you know, just kind of how, you know, how that all works out. But, you know, and I mean, you know, who knows? Maybe down the road somebody, you know, there's going to be injury guys that pull out and stuff like that. So, you know, we'll see how it works out. But I, yeah, you know, the kind of, you know, the complaining, you know, eventually kind of gets to me. And it's like, what do you want us to do? So, you know, but I'm not sure if there was just like one flat out, oh my God, I can't believe this guy didn't make the team kind of thing. Was there a few?
No, and I forgot who's the third White Sox who made it. Because, I mean, I'll be damned if anyone doesn't think that Lucas Giolito deserves to be voted in.
Yeah, James McCann got the nod as the third White Sox catcher. But, you know, I mean, numbers-wise, he's been as good as any catcher in baseball.
Yeah.
So, you can't really complain about it. You know, it's just kind of like, hey, you know, sorry. You know, sorry this guy's having a good year. And, you know, he ends up on the All-Star team over somebody else, you know, you wanted in there. But, you know, and I think they always do take three catchers.
Yeah, three innings each.
So, you know, that's no real, you know, real surprise there. But, yeah, you know, I mean, I don't know if there was an egregious snub somewhere that, you know, we have to, you know, redo the entire All-Star voting because of it. But, you know, I'm sure there's somebody out there who feels that way. And, you know.
I mean, if – I don't know. You can't have it like the NBA playoffs where everybody makes it.
Yeah. and I get it. You know, maybe the Twins deserved another player or two. You know, that's fine. But again, you know, who are you eliminating? And remember, you can't eliminate anybody who is the lone representative from a team.
Yeah.
So, I'm fine with, you know, them wanting to change it. Just tell me who you're getting rid of, I'm all for it. So, you know, I mean, I'll be right on board there. You know, Minnesota's been pretty much the surprise team, and, you know, that's just kind of how it goes, but... You know, while we are on baseball, Dan, I got to ask you. I saw this earlier. Is it over for your guy Zach Duke? I saw the Reds designated him for assignment.
Ooh,
you know, does he? You know, he is 36 now, but he's left-handed, so that means he can pitch four more years. He was 3-1, so at least he was getting some wins in Cincinnati. But that ERA was 5.01. Does he find a new home when he clears, you know, free waivers and stuff here?
I think he might, but it most likely will be an American League team.
So, you know, because, yeah, you know, and I was a little surprised that they decided to release him because I think he's only signed for like $2 million. So, you know, it's not like he's breaking the book or anything, but. I noticed there were.
I'm sure they figure that he's going to get picked up. So, you know, by releasing him, whoever picks him up is going to have to pay the remainder of the salary.
Yeah.
And then it won't be too deep of a cut when they sign the next guy that they're going after.
Yeah, well, they brought up, what did I see? They called up, come on. I went down the screen here. They activated righty Jimmy Hergert. So it looks like they designated Duke so they could bring up a starter. So, we'll see how it goes. But yeah, there were a lot of pitching names that I guess we would know that were released. You know, the Rangers made two moves. They decided to end things with Drew Smyly, and then they also just designated Shelby Miller. I saw that the Brewers did sign Smyly. I don't know if Miller will get another shot. Locally here, while he's not a pitcher, I saw that Cargo got designated again, Carlos Gonzalez. So that's the second time this year for him. And, you know, he's the other guy you got to wonder, you know, is it just over for Gonzalez? I mean, you know, when the Indians brought him up, he kind of struggled. I know he got off to a decent start with his first appearance with the Cubs, but in the end here, a .175 in his 15 games, he only hit .210 in Cleveland. You know, are we – he is only 33, though, Dan, but you start looking at the numbers and I don't know. Is it bye-bye time for Cargo, or does, you know, does he get one more look maybe as a minor league free agent for somebody?
I think he gets on a minor league contract. I think if you're Cargo, though, you got to take it back to the drawing board and maybe – see if you can get in the minor league system and start working on that bat again. Because, I mean, if he needs to do something if he wants to maintain even just getting a couple more years on his career. But you know, it cracked me up because how excited was everybody on the north side? I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. When you make little pickups like that, they're just supposed to, you know, help out in certain situations. But, again, it was like when you brought it up, I was like, but they have, you know, the entire team plays outfield, so what the hell do you need another outfielder for? Makes no sense to me. You know, but, you know, Jason Hayward's out of the doghouse, so to speak, and Albert Almora has slid right in there pretty nicely for Cub fans. So, you know, he was part of the reason when they don't win, it's, you know, his fault if he's in the lineup. So, you know what I mean? I mean, it just, when you have Schwarber, who I think really got a grasp on playing the left field position now, you have Almora, you have Jason Hayward, and, you know, you picked up Mark Grubowski, whatever, I forgot his last name, which was kind of a waste of a signing, who was supposed to be a utility guy who was supposed to help fill in the outfield. I think they realized that experiment really wasn't working as well as they wanted, so that's why they went after Cargo. You know, Theo's got to quit acting like the smartest guy in the room and maybe start being the smartest guy in the room. Or maybe just, you know, thinking like a true executive and trying to make these little things and hoping they get hot. Because, I mean, has any of them really turned around? Yeah, he made that great trade with Baltimore to get Arrieta and, you know, the other reliever. And, you know, some things have worked out. But for the most part, all these little pickups here and there just seem to kind of, I don't even want to say blow up in the face, but they just seem to kind of not even do anything. You know, I mean, even, what was it, last week I seen articles from former friends of the show of ours talking about, oh, is it time for the Cubs to admit they made a mistake in the Daniel Descalzo deal? Yeah, oh, well, we need a clubhouse leader. Well, who the hell is Anthony Rizzo? I don't remember. Who's Rizzo? Yeah. Because when he was signed to this team, he was supposed to be the cornerstone. He was supposed to be that guy. But Ben Zobrist was it Ben? You know, but it was all myth because with the Ben Zobrist issue and, you know, it's just, like, some of it is such a load of crap. And, you know, again, you remember, you kind of talked me a little off the ledge on the Descalzo deal, but I thought it was stupid. I thought it was a waste of time and kind of proven so.
Yeah, well, you know, I think it would be a better signing if the roster was whole. You know, because remember, Ben Zobrist was the guy who was supposed to be getting – the majority of the time at second base. And, you know, now all of a sudden you've got it where, you know, I mean, he's only played, like, what, 24 games for the team? So all of a sudden, you know, Descalzo gets tossed into an everyday role, which he's not. He's not an everyday player.
Yeah.
And for the life of me, I don't understand why Addison Russell isn't the everyday second baseman. You know, not only is he Gold Glove caliber, but he's got a resume where you know, he's shown some power and you know him, you know, instead of running Descalzo out there. And let Descalzo do the things, you know, he's good at. Give a guy a day off here and there. You know, he can play second, short, third in the corner outfield position. That's what he was brought here to do. He wasn't brought here to be an everyday player.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm guessing Addison Russell is still in the doghouse because of the domestic violence thing, and they don't want to run him out there every day and, you know, look bad. So I don't know. But in the end, you know, you got to do what's best for the team.
And
Russell
not,
is the everyday baseman is best for the team.
Well, and not only that, if, everyone wants Russell gone, well, who the hell is going to pick him up when they're not even getting a great view of him? Why are you
right.
going to send, you know, why is any team going to send scouts to sit, you know, at Wrigley and watch this game to scout Russell when, well, is he going to play? Well, we're not going to find out until 2 hours before the game, so we're not flying somebody out.
Right, yeah. You're not bringing a guy in there to watch him come in as a defensive replacement in the seventh inning.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, so I just feel like either way you look at it, it just makes no sense. And like I said, quit trying to be the smartest guy in the room and start doing what a real executive is supposed to do and make the hard decision. You know, it's just funny because they had no problem with it when they signed Aroldis Chapman.
Right.
Now, since it was one of their guys, you know.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of how those things go, isn't it? When, you know, it happens someplace else with somebody else, it's okay. But, you know, when he's on your team, it's a different story. So.
Because we weren't going to sign him anyway because he said he was going back to New York. But, you know, I wanted to jump off Major League Baseball, and I don't know how much of the NHL signings you were watching, but I did want to talk about it a little bit, especially locally here. The Hawks brought back Andrew Shaw. I don't know how great this is or not great. It just seems like lately when they bring back some guys who are on the Stanley Cup teams, didn't really work out so well. So we'll see how that one goes. But the one I'm really excited about, and I think he'll be a great compliment in the goal, is Robert Lehner. I was reading it earlier, but now I totally blanked on where he was last year. But he had a pretty solid outing, you know, season last year. I think he had like 20 games that he won or so. I'm probably totally off. But I wanted to get your take on that because it seemed like the last couple seasons, the Hawks weren't able to get another goalie that they could just throw in, you know, to give Crawford those days off that he needs. And as he's gotten a little older and some of the issues he's had over the couple of seasons, I think he needs a couple extra days off as opposed to the way things were before. So I was wondering what you thought about it. I think it's a great combination in the goal, but I think it's a pretty solid start to the NHL offseason for the Blackhawks. Hope I'm not wrong.
Yeah, you know, I'm not as excited with the Andrew Shaw thing coming back because, like you mentioned, this is the third time now that they've done this. And, you know, Patrick Sharp wasn't very good. Brandon Saad wasn't very good.
No.
You know, Shaw was never a great goal scorer or, you know, anything like that. He was just kind of tough and gritty and, you know, that kind of thing. But as you get older, that becomes harder and harder to maintain. So we'll see how that goes. I hope it works out better than the other two. But, definitely bringing Lerner in you know, is huge because, you know, aren't we to the point where you just don't know what the hell you're going to get out of Corey Crawford? So you need a guy who can really fill in. And, you know, Lerner is that guy who if need, you know, I mean, obviously you don't want him to be the number one goalie, but if he has to come in and fill in as the number one goalie, it's something he can do.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's definitely a huge plus for them there. So, you know, we just got to kind of, you know, now it's just kind of like, well, let's wait and see how they, you know, how things work out and, you know, what else they can add. But, you know, you got to remember, you know, the NHL is on that super tight salary cap. So it really, you know, it limits what some teams can do. I mean, you know, working in some sense, I saw, you know, Tommy Panarin, the former Blackhawk, got a 7-year deal with the Rangers.
Yeah.
So, that's kind of huge there. But yeah, you know, you know, obviously we want the Blackhawks to be good. So you just got to kind of these things work out.
Yeah, was there any others that you saw that kind of grabbed your eye?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I knew Joe Pavelski is moving over to the Dallas Stars. I thought that was a bit of a surprise that San Jose didn't want to bring him back because I believe he was their captain. And I know he's had some injury issues and stuff. But, you know, normally with guys like that, you know, you're really willing to, you know, to bring those guys back. You know, and then Sergei Bobrovsky, you know, he did sign with the Panthers, like it was fully expected. But, you know, it's got to be tough for, you know, the Blue Jackets now, who have been really good the past couple of years. You know, they lose their number one goalie, and then they lose their number one scorer in Panarin. You know, they're both gone in free agency, so I don't know what they're going to do or how they're going to be. But, we'll see how that goes. But, I don't know. You know, it's just kind of, you know, they lost a lot of, you know, a lot of star power there, and the only thing they brought in to replace him was Gustav Nyquist, who isn't in Panarin's class as a player. I mean, I know he's a solid, what you would call a top six forward, but he's not Artemi Panarin. So, I don't know. You know, it makes things kind of interesting. And of course, you know, we never know how any of this is going to actually work out until, the season gets rolling. But, there were a lot of, you know, right out of the gate, a lot of guys, you know, got on and, you know, signed right away, very, very similar to the NBA. So, just kind of how it goes. And I think even before then there were, you know, guys who had jumped on and signed already. So just one of those things, but we'll see how it goes. And I do think it's kind of cool that NHL free agency opened on Canada Day, right?
Yeah. Did they have to try to get a day around the 4th of July since they don't technically have independence and they're still parliamentary run and have a monarchy through England?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't pay that much attention in school, so I'm not sure. Don't forget the Twitter feed. Feel free to join that in my Twitter if you'd like to do that. And always, if one doing that. But remember, podcast is available for you to listen to anytime you want.
Of course, on radio.com.